Hi, I'm Wayne McPhail, and I was one of the people that originally started the Rabble Podcast Network, and I think that you should support the Rabble Podcast Network and rabble.ca because there's no other place where you're going to get such a diversity of voices speaking truth to power.
Show your support by going to www.rabble.ca/donate.
This is a Rabble Podcast Network show.
Rabble.ca. Canadians need to start speaking more openly about racism, Islamophobia, and xenophobia. That was one of the messages arising out of a press conference today by the British Columbia Civil Liberties Association. The speakers you're about to hear are representatives from legal groups that launched the Islamophobia Legal Assistance Hotline. Launched in March of 2016, the hotline connects individuals who have experienced discrimination with free, confidential legal advice and information. The speakers discuss the issue of discrimination against Muslims and the treatment of refugees in light of the recent executive orders of the United States government. They call on the Canadian government to act to respond to the White House immigration orders. Each speaker will introduce her or himself, followed by questions from reporters. They've been lightly edited, with questions taken out only when they were
interrupted. Good morning, and thank you for joining us today. My name is Hassan Alam, and I am the community liaison for the Islamophobia Legal Assistance Hotline. I would like to start by extending my deepest condolences to the family and loved ones of the victims of the tragic shootings that took place at the Islamic Cultural Center of Quebec on Sunday evening. These tragic killings are a harsh reminder of the fact that Islamophobia exists here in Canada, and Muslim Canadians are unfortunately often the victims of it. The legal organizations behind the Islamophobia Hotline are holding this press conference in order to raise greater awareness about the legal services which it offers. Last year, a range of groups in the legal community in British Columbia launched the Islamophobia Legal Assistance Hotline after a nationwide increase in incidents of racial and faith-based discrimination against Muslims in Canada. The contributing factors behind this rise in Islamophobia are complex and many. However, during the last federal election, a divisive form of Islamophobic rhetoric was used to single out Muslim Canadians as being a threat. And in the present, Canadians are being further exposed to a similar but more extreme form of anti-Muslim and xenophobic rhetoric from the Trump administration in the United States. These sorts of rhetoric give tacit approval for anti-Muslim bigotry and has contributed towards making Muslim Canadians more vulnerable to discriminatory treatment and hate crimes. These hate crimes take forms in terms of Muslims or people perceived as being Muslims being attacked on the street, places of worship such as mosques, gurdwaras, and temples being vandalized, as well as discriminatory actions and comments being made in the workplace and in classrooms. This hotline is aimed at ensuring that people who are targeted for such Islamophobic hate crimes receive confidential and free legal advice in multiple languages and across a broad spectrum of legal matters, such as immigration, employment, and human rights law. Another vital function of this hotline is to ensure that instances of Islamophobia are confidentially documented. This is in order to better understand the scope of Islamophobia in British Columbia, in particular, where Islamophobia is happening, who is being affected, and who the main perpetrators of Islamophobia are. What we have learned from this past year is that there is a critical need for this free and confidential legal resource, but further, that more people need to be made aware of the services which it offers. We hope that you all can assist us in raising greater awareness about its services, as its ultimate aim is to ensure that vulnerable and marginalized residents in this province are made to feel safer. Thank you.
My name is David Namkun, and I'm president of the Federation of Asian Canadian Lawyers, British Columbia, FACL, BC. FACL, more broadly, is a national association of Pan-Asian lawyers, and our mandate is to promote equity, justice, and opportunity for Asian Canadian professionals and the wider community. We are among the largest diversity organizations within the legal community, and as many of our members are Muslim Canadians, And as many of us have personally experienced targeted discrimination, we are a proud supporter of the Islamophobia Hotline. FACL recently issued a national statement strongly condemning the terrorist attack against Muslims in Iraq. While we have perhaps been distracted by the direction of American politics over the past few weeks, the attack is a reminder that our country may be more progressive on many issues, but as we as Canadians are not immune from hate crimes and discrimination. It occurs on a far more regular basis than reported in your community, in your office, and in your neighborhood. Most victims suffer in silence, which is why it is important for us at this time to remind the community that the hotline exists and that there are lawyers standing in solidarity with the Muslim community. Many organizations have banded together for this initiative to create capacity to compassionately listen and to assist. Within FACL BC, I have been overwhelmed by the unanimous support of our members for the Islamophobia Hotline and the time that we're volunteering towards this initiative. If you're a Muslim, perceived to be Muslim, and have experienced discrimination or harassment, know that you don't have to suffer alone. Please call the hotline for confidential support and advice.
My name is Laura Trax, and I'm a staff lawyer here at the BC Civil Liberties Association. I'm very pleased to be here and to be joined by two of our co-collaborators with Relay on the creation of the Islamophobia Hotline. I want to start also by expressing the BCCLA's sadness and denunciation of the despicable act of terrorism that was perpetrated against Muslims at prayer in a Quebec City mosque on Sunday. Our thoughts are with the families and loved ones and the injured. The BCCLA also wholeheartedly and unreservedly denounces the harmful and discriminatory executive order issued by U.S. President Trump late last week. We want to take this opportunity to add our voice as the BC Civil Liberties Association to the growing chorus of calls on the Canadian government to take action in light of what is happening in the United States. In particular, we want to urge the Canadian government to rescind what is known as the Safe Third Country Agreement that it has with the United States of America. It's important to remember that a refugee is someone who is unable to continue to live in safety where he or she is due to the dangers of war, of generalized violence, or a serious civil disturbance. Fleeing and seeking asylum is the only realistic option for these people and their families. However, the Safe Third Country Agreement between Canada and the United States closes the door to most refugee claimants applying at Canada's land border, not because of the strength of their claim, not because of the severity of harm that they're fleeing, but because they happened to set foot first in the United States. And the law says that they should therefore make their refugee claim in the United States. The Safe Third Country Agreement is premised on the notion that the United States can provide refugee claimants with effective protection and a fair hearing. These notions have been seriously undermined over the last several days. The designation of the United States as a safe third country for the purposes of refugee protection simply cannot stand in light of the deeply troubling developments in the United States over the past week. It is clear that the United States of America is not a safe place for refugees and refugee claimants under the president's executive order. President Trump's executive order demonstrates total disregard for a range of binding principles under both international refugee law and international human rights law that are meant to ensure the safety, the dignity, and the equal treatment of refugees and refugee claimants. Given the rapidly evolving, unpredictable situation in the United States, considerable confusion and lack of transparency in the creation and the enforcement of these executive orders, the uncertain and developing legal context as court challenges advance, including reports that some border guards are not abiding by court orders, the United States simply cannot be considered by Canada to be safe for the purposes of refugee protection. Canada must be on the right side of the fight to ensure that people fleeing violence and persecution be protected in our country. The assault on the rights of refugees by the United States government reflects an astounding disregard for international law and for the principles of fundamental justice. It is vital that Canada act immediately to ensure that refugee claimants in the United States who turn to Canada for protection are able to do so. That requires immediately rescinding the designation of the United States as a safe third country. And we'll turn it over now to Lauren Waldman, who's joining us by phone.
Thank you very much. First of all, I want to say on behalf of the Canadian Association of Refugee Lawyers that we support everything that has been said previously. We certainly denounce the horrible attack on the worshippers in Quebec City and express our condolences to the family members there. We also agree with the BCCLA that the Safe Third Country Agreement should be suspended. The provisions of the regulations allow for Canada to suspend the agreement at any time for a period of 3 months without notice. Given the conditions in the United States, we agree that it is unsafe for people to make claims there and that Canada should be willing to accept those refugees who are in the United States and have a need to seek asylum. Finally, we note that as a result of the executive order, which we denounce as well, there are thousands of persons who have been left in limbo. These include refugees that the United States had committed to resettle, who had gone through exhaustive security screening and other screening and were on their way to the United States. Many of these people are in precarious situations and need urgent assistance. As a result, the Canadian Association of Refugee Lawyers calls upon the Canadian government to seek an urgent meeting with the United Nations so that the United Nations can coordinate a global response to assist these persons who have been left in limbo by the sudden and precipitous action of the Trump administration.
My name is Kate Feeney, and I'm a staff lawyer at the BC Public Interest Advocacy Centre. And I also want to say that BCPAC extends its condolences and support to the Islamic Cultural Centre of Quebec and rejects this terrorist act and as something that's just not acceptable. BCPAC calls on the Canadian government also to rescind the Safe Third Country Agreement. And we want to point out that this agreement has always been dangerous for those fleeing war and persecution. In some cases, people have risked their lives to secretly cross the border in order to claim refugee status. However, since President Trump's executive order, this agreement has only become more dangerous and is clearly no longer supported by the core assumption that has been underlying it, which is that the United States is a safe and welcoming place for refugees.
Question for Sonia. Since the hotline was launched, how many calls have you made?
We're not in a position right now to disclose the exact numbers, but there has been a use of the hotline. There has been people calling in. And what we know is that Islamophobia is happening here in British Columbia, and it's happening in a multitude of places, in universities, in classrooms, in high schools, on transit. So there is a critical need for the hotline. What we also know is that there could be greater awareness raised about the hotline. Many people who are affected by Islamophobia already don't know about the services that are available, and for many of them, English isn't their first language. So getting the word out to them about the hotline is difficult but much needed.
Speaking with community leaders yesterday, they mentioned that they feel that Vancouver, by and large, is still very tolerant. Do you share that belief?
Yeah, of course. I think British Columbians are, by and large, tolerant, but I don't think we can draw dichotomies between tolerance and not being tolerant. I think there's a lot of gray there where instances of hate do happen in that zone of gray, and people are usually affected by that. At many times, people who do make Islamophobic comments or do carry out Islamophobic acts aren't even aware of the fact that they are, in fact, being Islamophobic.
I'm wondering, though, in the past few days after the immigration ban and the mosque attack.
We haven't yet met with our team yet in regards to just what the influx of calls have been. I have been hearing myself personally from my own community that there has been a number of incidents that have unfortunately taken place in the past few days. So we know that there has been a number of Islamophobic incidents in the past few days, yes.
How would you characterize those incidents?
They've ranged from comments being made on transit. In one instance, a woman's hijab was pulled off her head while walking on the street.
This was in Vancouver?
Yes. Yeah.
Did she report that to police?
She's in the process of navigating that herself. Can't disclose further information about that at this time.
There are a lot of Canadian permanent residents and dual citizens who have now been assured by the Canadian government that they can cross the border, but they still feel very afraid and they fear they're going to be detained. I'm wondering perhaps one of the lawyers can provide their opinion on what those permanent residents and dual citizens should do.
Indeed, we've been receiving calls, and there's all the lawyers who are on the different listservs have been receiving calls from very concerned Canadian citizens who were originally born in one of the seven listed countries, and from permanent residents in Canada as well. And according to the latest statements from the Prime Minister's office and from the U.S. authorities, Canadian dual nationals should be admitted into the United States, as should permanent residents of Canada. Obviously, in an individual case, an individual immigration officer at the U.S. border may decide to exercise his or her discretion and deny the person admission. I would think if that were to happen, then the best course of action would be to leave and to immediately contact a U.S. immigration lawyer or a Canadian lawyer who would refer you, because there's no point, given the broad discretion at the port of entry, there's very little that can be done at that point. I think it's probably safer for people who are traveling to pre-clear through one of the airports where there is U.S. pre-clearance, because then you're dealing with an INS official who is dealing with a large number of Canadians traveling every day by air, and they should be aware of the rules and regulations. We are hearing now of individual cases of people that are having difficulty, but it seems, generally speaking, the situation is resolving itself.
I'm wondering if one of the lawyers can explain the process of suspending the third party airspace third country agreement. I understand there's like a provision in there that allows for that to happen, but how was that supposed to happen?
Lauren, you mentioned a little bit about the process for suspending the safe third country. Country agreement. Could you say a little bit more?
Yeah, pursuant to the agreement itself, there is a provision in the agreement that allows either of the parties to suspend it for a 3-month period at any time. So that would be done through a regulation that would be promulgated by the minister, and the minister would promulgate a regulation suspending the safe third country for 3 months. That 3-month period can be extended. To actually revoke the 3 months or rescind the agreement, you need to provide 6 months notice of your intent to rescind. So the easiest way to deal with the third country agreement at this time would be for the minister to pass a regulation temporarily suspending its effect for 3 months.
I know you probably can't share more details, but I think we are curious about the woman who said Johnson was pulled off. What more could you
I really say? Can't speak anything further about that incident, yeah.
In terms of timing, that was fairly recently, I guess?
Yes.
Yep. Like last couple of weeks or last week? Or
yeah.
Was it after Quebec?
It was prior to Quebec, yeah.
Was it after the travel ban?
What should a person do when that happens to them, except call the hotline? Should they report it to police, or what do you think?
You should report it to police, and they should call the hotline, yes. Yeah.
What's your reaction to something like that happening in Vancouver?
It's unfortunate. It's upsetting, as it would be to anybody. But I think it's also a sign of the fact that there needs to be some greater awareness raised in British Columbia about Islamophobia and raising awareness about why it's wrong and what people can do when they're faced with it.
I wonder, there's a lot of discussion right now, of course, about the Trump administration, but you guys launched this hotline back in March. When you first launched that hotline, what was the rationale or what were you seeing at that time that was particularly troubling?
At the time, the National Canadian of Council Muslims released a statistic which spoke to the fact that there had been a significant increase in Islamophobic incidents in the past 2 years. And I think there's a recognition within the legal community that, again, this was wrong, but also that within British Columbia, there is a serious lack of legal resources available to individuals who do wish to seek legal help when faced with this. So the legal community came together in recognition of both these things to offer this free and confidential service. So it was mostly in response to what we were seeing as a growing rise in Islamophobia.
But the gray and you know, what exists there. Is there a conversation Canadians need to have?
I think Canadians do need to start talking more openly about racism and about Islamophobia. I think at many times Canadians feel like it's taboo and we should stick to the sort of, you know, words of diversity and multiculturalism. But I think we need to start in the envelope and being comfortable talking about things such as racism and Islamophobia and xenophobia, to name a few things, in a more open and public manner.
What message would you have to politicians? I mean, you're talking about these incidents which seem to be, in some cases, triggered by the rhetoric of politicians. How seriously should they be taking their words?
I think they should take their words very seriously. I think the public take the public at large takes cue from those who hold power. And as I said before, sometimes it can the words which politicians say or the statements that they make can provide tacit approval for actions. We know in the case of the shooter in Quebec that he followed Donald Trump very closely and that he, in fact, was inspired by a lot of the sort of political rhetoric that was happening in Quebec around the Quebec Charter of Values and whatnot. So although I can't speak to a direct correlation being there, I think it's definitely food for thought.
The reason why we got involved with the Federation of Asian Canadian Lawyers, I mean, we were noticing more hateful commentary in the community and, you know, social media about the influx of refugees generally, so, you know, before March. Within our body, we were wondering, what can we do to help address and mitigate some of these concerns? What can we do as an organization to embrace and support refugees generally? It just coincided with that Islamophobia kind of, you know, went on the rise and xenophobia went on the rise as we open more of our borders towards accepting Syrian refugees into our communities.
I think that's an important point, too, that it's not just Islamophobia, that other communities, racialized communities and marginalized communities in British Columbia also suffer forms of prejudice and racism. And I think we need to include that into the conversations that we're having.
Justin Trudeau on Saturday sent out a tweet that got a lot of attention saying Canada, you know, welcomes persecuted people from all over the world. Do you think that his actions in the past few days sort of match the words in that tweet?
Shall I?
Yeah.
I think it was a great tweet. And as Canadians, it is heartening to see our political leaders start from a place of reiterating a position of welcome and inclusiveness. But since that tweet, on my count, we have seen one piece of concrete action from the Liberal government, which is to make permits available to people who find themselves in the United States at this point. I understand that there is an emergency debate that has been called for this evening in Ottawa, where I hope and expect we will see further action from the government to deal with this crisis and to put a little bit of flesh on the bones of that tweet. Canada has demonstrated itself over the last year in particular, and Canadians have demonstrated themselves over the last year to be willing and eager to welcome refugees and Syrian refugees in particular into this country. There was an astounding interest among Canadians in privately sponsoring Syrian refugees to come to Canada to welcome Syrian refugees into communities. And that should demonstrate to the government that more needs to be done at a political level to increase the numbers of refugees that are accepted into this country, to empower and enable private citizens to sponsor refugees to come here. We know that just a few days ago, the cap for private sponsorship for the entire year was met. The cap was surprisingly set at only 1,000 refugees, and that is something that we hope will be revisited. The United States has left a huge gap
in the capacity of the global community to respond to the refugee crisis that is not just in Syria and not just in these seven named countries, but that is everywhere. And Canada has an important role to play in helping to meet that gap left by the United States.
You've been listening to a press conference by the BC Civil Liberties Association featuring representatives from legal groups which launched the Islamophobia Legal Assistance Hotline. This has been a Rabble Radio special.